Cross. Yeah.
It's like that witch that I used to work with there, when I was down at Baylor. She'd put a curse on me. And I told her, like, you know,
I put a curse on you.
So what?
I'm here. That's coming right back at you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Do you understand what that means? I mean, it, okay. The whole, I mean, if they, you'd have to deny the scriptures to say there were not generational curses. So the point of it is that it has nothing to do with believers because believers have died to the flesh. But if you, that's why these idiots that are just, you know, whether it's the biggest one right now is our friend Bob Larson, who is selling a new, he's using Anna Nicole Smith to say that he could have predicted that that was going to happen because there are generational curses on her. Well, that's just goofy. Anyway, Romans chapter 1. We stopped at verse 17 yesterday, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It was written in Habakkuk chapter 2. Anybody wants to check it sometime. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth or hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Now, it's not only that God is mocking us at all times and all our little plans and our ideas and our ambitions, but he is looking at it with wrath. And the only reason the wrath hasn't been manifested is because of his grace, his long-suffering. That's why we account the long-suffering of God as salvation. Now, wrath is ogre, or O-G-R-E, however it's pronounced in Greek. It's where we get the word ogre in the English. But it's wrath that is, it's an attitude. It's a wrath of God who could not love the good unless he hated the evil. I mean, that's in the justice of God. So this is why this sloppy agape that's being tossed around is just goofy. It's the love of God is present in, and the good of God is in the Son. And everything else is the wrath of God because of the curse. It's not like, well, this is, I don't believe that, or I don't. It's the only reason you don't believe it is because he's of his mercy. The only reason we haven't been made into crispy toast is because of his mercy. Waiting for the fullness of his Son to be revealed in us by our repentance. But the moment you think you're right about something, the moment we think that we are taking a stand about something that's in time or time dependent, then we've missed the whole mystery of God. We've returned to the flesh. What, you're doing it again, Gary?
What do you say?
It's just medication. That's going to change after his surgery, and he changes medication.
It's the Flomax. I'm gelling.
I'm not gelling.
You remember the whole thing about gelling is something to be shared? Otherwise, you sit and think about it until you think you have it right. And
it's kind of like Jell-O, though. You don't want to taste it before.
No, yeah, that's not it.
Well, it's still in liquid form.
Yeah. You might want to check the ingredients of Jell-O.
Yeah. Cow's hooves.
Yeah.
Now, what was going on?
After all that. I'm dealing with the fact that I hate Al Gore.
And something about starting to talk about this that jumped out in my face.
Can you read that?
I'm trying. I've got to get to it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I kind of do.
I got to get to it. That's like, well, I'm working on forgiving somebody. You know, well, I'm working on it. Well, isn't that big of you?
Wait for God's wrath to gel on you for a while.
That helps.
Yikes.
No, I can. It's just, yeah, I got this. Just stupid stuff to go.
Yeah, but the only reason it goes on is because of holding idolatry and withholding truth.
Yeah, you said something about positions and stands and all that, and that there's just that's a constant reminder of
the need to repent.
Yeah, need to repent. And so that's I see it though. It's not a foreign concept.
But then that doesn't take any gelling.
Right. Well, I was repenting when you caught my shit.
You interrupted his repenting.
He was in mid-repentance.
Why, yes, Mrs. Cleaver, Wallace and I were just discussing this.
I hate Mr. Peppermint.
God cannot love good without hating evil. The two are inseparable. And that's what this... The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Lascivious is ungodliness. It just means wrong thinking, like you were just doing.
Yeah. That's why I was repenting.
You weren't repenting, Gary. Don't. You were trying to get it right in your mind. You were trying to make it...
I can't justify that stuff. I don't want to justify it.
Then why do you keep doing it?
You got to do it to do it, you
know. No, you don't. Not unless you think there's still some sweet thoughts. There's nothing you have to think about. Unless you didn't hear the book of Ecclesiastes that we spent the last year on. Do you understand? It's digital. This whole mystery of God is digital. It's not progression. It's either total him or total you. There isn't both.
Yeah, when you first start talking, it's like there's just a myriad of shit in the world, you know, going on. But there's one vein that's true, and that's from God, and that's the only what is. And all this other stuff is just trying to distract and pull you away from that. And that's what these things are.
Right. Something trying to pull you off the mercy seat.
Right,
you couldn't hate Al Gore unless you were on the judgment seat.
Yeah.
Because you never even met the man.
I know.
The same is true for the worst kind of thing you can imagine, whether it's Hitler or Osama bin, what's his name, or... Anybody, you can't hate and be in Christ. It's impossible. You can't be in a state of unforgiveness without and be in Christ. It's impossible. You're either totally on the mercy seat or you're totally on the judgment seat. You can't be on both. It's impossible. This is why truth is so critical, the understanding of truth. That truth is something that isn't dependent on time or circumstances. So anything that's dependent on time and circumstances that you give breath to is idolatry. And if there is, if you remember, if you had kept every single point of the law, every subtlety of the law, and held one small idol, it's as though you kept none of the law. And if you had broken every rule in the law and destroyed your idolatry, it's as though you kept it all. There is no middle ground. This is why I pick on you so much.
Yeah, well, it's like you were talking with Pete. It's this generational curse. You're either subject to that, if that's what you want to, you know, hold your stand, or you, by repentance, cut the whole...
Because right, this is why. That's why Jesus said, "If no man can come unto me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister." What?
What did you say?
Hate his mother, his father, Al Gore.
Thank you, friend. Al Gore.
No, you remember.
See, that's the kind of stuff.
Yeah.
At the pearly gates, they're going to be asking Kevin about
it. Yeah, right. I mean, No. Stop. Watch. It's all his mother, his father, his wife, his children. His own wife also. You cannot come to him unless you hate all of the possessions. His mother, his father, his children, his wife, his life. Oh no. If you want to continue in that game, that's fine. But it's just absolutely idiotic. Oh, I'm thankful. Okay, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Now, we have to put our own term. I'll tell you what ungodliness must mean. It means all. Well, the moment you define it, then you are guilty of it. Because ungodliness is wrong thinking, asibius.
You got to use the wrong thinker to divide it.
You've got to enter that. You've got to get on. You've got to move from the mercy seat to the judgment seat in order for you to define the terms. So it's not you defining ungodliness out there. It's you going to war against ungodliness in here, in your own mind. And this it's the wrath of God. You don't want to know about the wrath of God, because right now it's an attitude. But soon it will be, the door will close, he will arise.
Confirmation, I think.
That's all
I'm interested in.
It's Al Gore.
It's Al Gore, not Paul.
Yeah, Al, I'll be with you.
Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now hear me. You got to hear what this is. The word hold the truth in unrighteousness, it means you're holding down the truth. You're suppressing it in your own unrighteousness, your own ungodliness. It's not something you can point a finger at, somebody else is doing it. It's you that are doing it. You're holding this truth, that this eternity, this thing, that this mystery, this son that doesn't change with time, and you're holding him down.
If you deny me.
And it's for like a mess of pottage or something.
It's for a stupid opinion.
Yeah, that's
you don't have to go to a mess of pottage, you just exampled it.
My life is
Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, unrighteousness is an interesting word. Righteousness is the this whole word that I can't even remember right now, but it's the same word for righteousness, and it's dakia or something like that. And unrighteousness is dakia. The unrighteousness, it's anything that holds that it's anything other than repentance is unrighteousness. That's why if there is a truth is a sustained consciousness of your own error. As long as you are the subject of your sentence, you cannot get it right. You cannot do the right thing. You cannot be right. We cannot be right. But I have these opinions. I guarantee you, no matter what your opinion is, it's idiotic and stupid. It's moronic. Because that which is, I love this one, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed or revealed it unto them. Everything that you need to know about God is within you. And you know, this is the point. You cannot take these positions without knowing that you're wrong, without questioning yourself. Because this mystery of God, the gospel, has been revealed unto all men. But what do? We see it. We see it progress. We see it happen. When you know, every unless you're mentally deprived, every person has gone through the generation gap at every generation. But what do? The generation gap, it causes you to question the idolatry of your progenitors, every aspect of it. But what do? I promise you, what you do is you sell out. We sell out. Because it's far easier to enter into the system than it is to stay. You get in too much trouble. Remember, the gospel is an invasion from the flesh's, from the human race's standpoint. It's an invasion of an enemy. It is called the kingdom of God, and all men are the mortal enemies of the kingdom of God. You want to be fair, to be reasonable, to be right, to be on the right side, to be with the majority, to whatever it is. But all of that, everything that you can conceive of to do or to be or to have opinions about, is all, by definition, locked in time. And the gospel is an invasion from the other side that has absolutely nothing to do with your value systems. Those are the systems by which you hold the truth, hold down the truth in unrighteousness.
And it's universal, because it goes on, you know, it's talking about everybody knows this. Everybody knows the
right
truth.
Everybody knows it.
And then they, we all hold it down.
Because we sell out. Do you understand this? Think, just stop and remember the infinite number of times you have sold out. It's not a pleasant thought. Is that now you gelling?
Yeah. Without grace and God's mercy, long suffering and patience and everything that he is and his faithfulness. I just see it clearly.
But you gotta hear this. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. And that childish thing, back here, was all of the opinions, all of the ideas, all of the goals, all of the rightness, all of everything you thought was good and bad. That's all, from God's perspective, a childish thing. But when I became a man or an adult, I divorced the childish things. It doesn't matter how good they are. It doesn't matter whether or not you've been successful or lack of success. Nothing matters. It's all, every one of those concepts and constructs in time, from God's perspective, is a childish thing. But now when you become an adult, put away the childish thing. Because the fullness of Christ has been placed in you, you have no more excuse to justify yourself. You can't use shame. You can't use that your daddy beat you. You can't use it, I'm so bad. You are without excuse. You can't use intelligence. You can't use lack of intelligence. You can't use where you were born or where you were raised. You can't use what race you are, because all of that is gone. There's no more male or female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, black or white, young or old. We've been invaded. The question is, are you still an insurgent trying to recapture and retake it, take this invasion, make it stop?
Yes, I was seeing it just now as being right in the kingdom of Satan, according to your own mental filters, are right in the kingdom of God, which is a completely different.
I promise you,
place.
You got to hear this. You cannot be right in time, and where we are under the control of the God of this world, and in eternity.
You can't mix the two.
And you can't even say. I mean, they have no truck with each other. There's no possibility between the two to merge or to have any. That's why it says, "Come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing." There's a great gulf, and then God's going to put this pathway across the gulf so you can walk over it. No, no. You have to die, because there can be no faith without your death. And you can't compromise. What? Well, you're doing something.
I guess I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, there certainly are such things as generational curses, but they don't go through the grave. I mean, it's only dead to cut off to everything. And I'm thinking about his life and his wife and his father and his. I mean, it's all on the other side of death.
See, what we do when you are baptized, this is why baptism is so important. Because when you're baptized, you bury all of those things. And only this new life, which has absolutely no intercourse with this world, emerges. There's no more ranking of what's important and what's not important. There's no more agendas. There's no more ambitions or goals. Because from God's perspective, you have reached the highest that can happen in time and space. So how could you have a goal? You own all things, so how could you want anything? How could you need anything? You've been perfected by one offering, so how can you possibly concern yourself with you? Now, the wrath of God is revealed in His righteousness. And it has nothing to do with us. That's why it's Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Glory there just means whatever you're going to be proud of, or whatever you're going to take identity from.
The dining room was closed last night, so I need to get something to eat, and I thought, oh, you know what's really, I'll go have a Quiznos sandwich. Those are really good. So I went up there, and I had what I would normally consider to not be a horrible thing, a roast beef sandwich and some potato chips and a Pepsi. and it just knocked me for a loop. The sugar, the salt, the grease, all that stuff that I ate that I didn't a year ago, that was normal for me. But I've been not eating that stuff for so long that I spent like 4 hours last night up and down and freaked out and dizzy and nauseous and whatever. And it's the same thing what we're talking about now, to go back. I mean, there's so much. You can eat the political campaign. You can eat Iraq. You can eat global warming. You can eat cancer. You can eat all this. There's so much there that you can eat. And it's just salt and sugar and fat and crap.
It's dust.
It's just...
You know... Let's go one more time to Genesis 3. Just for Gary's sake. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, or thou shalt be led by thy belly. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life. It's not that you're going to make a decision that you're not going to eat dust. That's what you're going to do. You're going to gain sustenance and satisfaction from dust. This is why that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God.
This would be the curse that stops at the grave.
Well, but my point to you is that you are just eating, you are eating thoughts about dust. So there must be starvation. You must be starving. You could possibly eat thoughts about dust. Many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly. Because they're still led, they're still subject to this curse. That's all they can eat is the dust, and that's what leads you. Your belly leads you. Whose God is their belly, their appetites, whose glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things. It's very simple to stop doing it. It doesn't take thinking about it. It doesn't take time. It simply takes repentance. Unless you believe, and you can't repent. You can't repent if you don't know it's empty and vain and stupid. And you can't repent if you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you. Then all you can do is, well, I'll do better next time, or I'm sorry, I'll try harder, or oh, I'll never do that again, or whatever, all the other idiotic things. But true repentance is you walk away from you. And if there's anything that ever puts your eyes on yourself again, then it's not, oh, I'm sorry I did that. It's, I'm sorry I've resurrected the evil one again. And that's why the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You can't have any fear of God if you don't know this. You just have, oh, isn't God wonderful, and He makes such beautiful sunsets. And you pass around little internet things. If you don't pass this on, you're going to get cursed. If you pass this on to everybody in your
where in the hell do all those come from? It's like
Bob Larson.
Anyway, any expansions?
I see a trend in all this. All these things we read, they're all talking about the same. I detect a trend.
I'm thinking of the butterfly, because you mentioned the butterfly and the caterpillar the other day, and I've been reflecting on that. It's so amazing. But I'm thinking of the butterfly flying along and thinking, gosh, I've missed some of those meals I had when I was a caterpillar. I just would like to go back and enjoy some of those caterpillar meals.
Leaves were tasty.
They were so fun.
You eat so much you can't fly.
Barbecued escargot.
We tend to view our sinfulness in degrees and by this and by that. And I mean, the important thing is to view it the way God sees it. It's not an unfortunate condition. It's not a character weakness. It's a terminal condition.
Right. The only solution is death.
Yeah. And Christ is the solution.
But he can't. His humility won't permit him to override you.
Right.
So he can't ever occupy where you are, where you're concerned, or where you have an opinion. And he leaves. He's suppressed down by your idiocy. You've got to come to a point where you see that every second is judgment day. And without that, you'll just blithely walk around. Oh, isn't that? I'm so fortunate. God is really blessing me. Or, what have I done wrong? Oh. Or, what is that person thinking of me? What did he mean by that gesture? Take it, big guy. What time are we going to meet? 8:30?
I guess so.
In Harry's office?